We're at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture annual conference in Denver this week, and livestock traceability is a big topic here, specifically talking about cattle traceability. And we're going to talk with Joe Leathers with the Four Sixes Ranch at Guthrie, Texas. Joe has been one of the leaders on the cattle industry traceability working group. Joe, you're representing the producers here. Talk about just your background and kind of where you come from on this whole topic of traceability.
Well, we are a old large cow calf producer, but we run a lot of cattle. But we're also involved in the stocker. We're also involved in the feeder aspect of it. We also have fed and do feed some of our own cattle. So I'm pretty familiar with just about every aspect of the industry. We also operate in private land, is all in Texas. All of our deeded land is in Texas, but we lease country in three other states. Also in, public lands. And so I have a pretty diverse knowledge of that. And I've seen, had to move a lot of cows, interstate movement of our cows. And so I see the need. I also, for the producer and as an animal health commissioner for the state of Texas, I also see the need for animal disease traceability and where our country is at and where we need to be in order to protect our industry. So my whole purpose of being involved in this is to make sure that the producer has a voice, and I try real hard to bring a diverse knowledge to that and keep the large and small producers in mind as we're going through this.
What are you doing yourself right now as far as animal ID and traceability?
Well, in 2011, we were in the worst drought in Texas history, and we had to move the majority of our cows somewhere else, and that meant moving them across state lines. So I saw the aggravation and the inefficiency in reading the metal tags, Bangs tag, in our adult cows to cross state lines with them. Wasn't good for the cattle. It wasn't efficient for us. Too much stress on the cows. And so at that point, we started introducing electronic ID in our cows, official ID. It took a four-day process with one individual group of cows because of the heat and the weather and the conditions we were in. It changed a four-day process to get a cow in a truck to move to another state and to different locations into a one- to two-day process to get the, because of the animal ID. I've also used it in the management of our cattle and in our enhancing that, if you will, in our own operations. So that's how every cow we have, which is several thousand cows, mother cows, that are scattered in four to five different states. I can tell you in a matter of minutes, if somebody gives me the number of a cow, I can tell you what ranch she's on in what state. Well, I can tell you whether she's black baldy, red. I can tell you when the bulls were turned out on her. I can tell you what her vaccination program was. I can tell you her age, and I can tell you whether she was a purchased cow or a ranch-raised cow. So there's no limit to what managerial things that I could add into that. But from the disease traceability point, it just made it so much more effective and so much quicker for us to identify a problem if it was to arise.
The industry's been talking about this for a long time, and it seems like every time that they've kind of gotten serious, the opposition rises up and it just kind of goes by the wayside again. So what's different this time?
Well, I think that there's a little bit more acceptance because of the signs of the time. Technology is so much better than what it was originally. And I think that this particular group, and I want to clarify something. You said that we were formed by the NIAA, and I want everybody that hears this broadcast to understand that we're an independent group. We're not beholden to the NIAA. We're not beholden to any state or national organization. We are an independent group that's been asked to look at this, and we're not only not beholden to them, We're independent, but we also don't have any regulatory authority when we finally come up with a plan. This is going to be submitted, and it's up to somebody else to decide whether it's going to be used. The difference in our group and some of the groups in the past is we're working real hard to make sure that the producer is the one that's driving it, and the thought process of building and structuring the model, and not from the federal government down. I want everybody to understand that the drive of this is from the producer up, not from the federal government down. And that, I think that's a big difference in what's been happening before. And the difference is now, as the USDA says, we want this to be producer driven. They want to see us produce something. So I really feel like this is one of the rare opportunities we in the cattle industry have an opportunity to not only have a seat at the table, which doesn't come very often, but we can be proactive instead of reactive.
Okay, you said you want to put it out there and have somebody else kind of take the reins on it, but who's that going to be?
Well, the reality is once we develop something, it will be submitted to the USDA. They're going to be the ones to decide. It becomes a political issue then. Is it going to be adopted, accepted? They're going to be looking at different models if they come from other organizations or other places. And there, it may be this particular model, it may be somebody else's particular model, or it may be a melding of the two or three to come up with the actual plan. But our goal is to produce a model of disease traceability that is not only flexible, as intrusive in our private operations as possible, or as little as possible. We don't want a model that's going to be a problem for everybody. But we've got to enhance the disease traceability portion of it, and we're also trying to develop a model that will scatter the cost out for those that choose to. But it's got to be something, in my opinion, that the producer themselves has control over their own data and their own destiny in this, and they make their own decisions, and it's not something that's mandated that won't work.
But when you say USDA will take it, doesn't that raise those caution flags again with some folks?
Sure it does. It would for me too. But the reality of it is, for adult cattle, there's already a rule in place. There's already a portion of disease traceability that is in place and working now that we're trying to enhance on. My goal as part of this group is to make sure that those that lack and have adhered to the interstate movement of the disease traceability portion doesn't have to change anything other than maybe the enhancement of a tag. For those that are more trusting and more progressively minded, they have the choice to move into a different database that the federal government has the ability to access the disease traceability portion of the data only. But if the producer wants to have a market-driven enhancement portion of the database, then they have control over that, and nobody else can access that portion of it except without their permission.
So when we talk about a voluntary program, and again, how do you convince the folks out there that it's worth their while and their dollars to do this?
Well, it's going to have to develop into a market-driven situation. I don't know a producer, one, if there's some added value potentially now or in the future that wouldn't position themselves to where they could capitalize on that at that point in time. And I hope that the model that we are putting together, that the producers will see some future market added value for that information that they voluntarily get into.
And one of the arguments too is just staying competitive in the global market, as we assume countries are going to continue to demand more information on where their product's coming from.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we need to be position where we can not only stay competitive, but we can excel in our global market. But I think there's two aspects to disease traceability that we're looking at. We look at it, is there value added to our product? And that's a realistic thing to ask. And so that can be worked on. Can we add value through world trade? Can we add value through domestic trade by doing this? The other end of the portion that people don't seem to want to look at is a disease traceability program that is in place and that is working at the speed of commerce will also be a protection against a disease outbreak that would wreck our industry and our cattle market. And so I always ask people, how much money do you invest in risk management? And of course, nobody will ever give me an answer, but I know from experience that we invest a lot of money in risk management, hedging our cattle to hedge against a market crash or the rise and fall in the market. How much money would you give for insurance to develop a program to ensure that we would have the least amount of adverse market drop because of a TB outbreak, a hoof and mouth disease outbreak, a anthrax outbreak, God forbid. So we've got to look at it from both ends of the spectrum. We've got to look at it from an added value, and then we also got to look at if an enhanced disease traceability program would also protect us like an insurance policy for a potential disease outbreak. And when you look at it from that aspect, there's a lot of people give quite a bit of money for drought insurance, blizzard insurance, fire insurance. And so we think it's an absolute must that we have insurance on our homes. We think it's an absolute must that we have insurance on our houses, our health, and our cars. So we need to be looking at the cattle market in the same aspect. Is this could be a viable solution for some pretty cheap insurance if you want to look at it that way.
You've made the point several times this morning on the panel discussion, you know, this has got to be focused on the producer, and it's got to be producer choice. And I've heard the folks out there saying, well, this is something that's being promoted by the tagging companies, and you know, this is something the federal government wants done. So, you know, how do you convince folks that this truly is going to be a producer run program?
By coming up with a model and a program that the producer can see that we had them in mind. That was really the whole purpose of me being involved in this originally. Two reasons. I think that if we're going to do it, I believe that it's coming whether we want it or not. I think we have an opportunity as a producer to have a seat at the table. And I want to make sure that I do the very best I can that those producers are represented in this process. I'm also doing it because I think at some point in my children and my grandchildren's future, in the times that we live in with the terrorists and the movements that we have, that there's a potential for an attack, if you will, not just traceable disease, but the possibility, because it's already happening in other aspects of our world. I want my children to be protected and their livelihoods to be protected. The United States government was set up to work from the bottom up. And over the years, that has seemed to have been reversed. And now it seems to work from the federal government down. We in the cattle industry, for the most part, have been reactive. We react to rules. We react to laws. And then we go to war over them. This is the one of the few times that I've seen that we actually have the opportunity to develop something from the ground. Only in the country, individual producer, we have the opportunity to build a program from the ground up and become proactive. And I don't want to squander the opportunity.